I wasn't going to do this, but the Holy Spirit told me to do so. A couple of different things this morning before I get into the new series. One, a year ago this Sunday, we were still doing post-production services. Now today, we live in a state that is 100% open, and all the people who didn't get to do all the things they got to do last summer, they're doing them. And I am grateful to have people to preach to this summer. And we're grateful for everybody who's online with us this morning. But it's hard to believe that we were still not seeing each other a year ago this time. And we were in a theater, now we're in a building. God is so good to us. We have some things coming up. Father's Day's next week. Rochelle's got a women's conference coming up. 25th. You're taking away what I want to do here. Be quiet. She used to be really quiet. She used to be. We've got a lot of other things going on too. There's something new coming from Pastor Rochelle and I. And we're going to encourage you not to look at the emails that we send out. Don't let yourself say, well, it's just the same old stuff. It's not. There is information in there and details of things that are going on around here, and we use email blast. We use our e-newsletter to get information out, and we encourage you. If you want to know what special is going on next Sunday, if you want to know everything about the women's deal, if you want to know about the new thing Pastor Rochelle and I are getting ready to do, you need to be looking at those emails. You need to be looking at that newsletter. Because that's how we communicate. I know most of you in this building would rather us text you. That's not going to happen. We don't have time to do that. So you need to open up your emails. When you see something from us, whether it's from me, Pastor Rochelle, or from info account, when you see info at anychurchtx.com, open it up. Don't assume that you know what's in it. That's how we communicate these days. And it takes a lot of energy and a lot of time to put that stuff out, and so we encourage you to take a moment and look at it, and so that you'll know what's going on. In April of 1984, I was 25 years old. I found myself completely bent over, doubled over. Rochelle's rushing me to our family doctor in Keene, Texas. He has me get up on the examination table, which was a chore to do that. And then he does something that sends me to the floor, literally, with Rochelle in the room and trying to help me get up. He immediately looks at Rochelle, and all he says is, take him to the emergency room, I will make the phone call, and tells us nothing about what's going on with me. So we rush to the hospital. I'm still doubled over walking in. I'm 25. I look like I'm 105 coming in. In excruciating pain, they immediately send me to a room, order all these tests, and tell me, we don't know how long you're going to be here. So I tell Rochelle, I said, she's going to have to go get some stuff at the house. I said, get my notepad, one like this. If you know me well, I have lots of these, and I go through these regularly. And I said, bring my notepad, my pen, and my Dake's Bible. How many of you remember a Dake's Bible? I said, bring me my Dake's Bible. As I'm laying there in that room, I ended up being there a little over 4 days. They're concerned. They said, well, you're at a plus four passing blood. I thought, well, that doesn't sound bad. Plus four is better than plus 10. But they were alarmed, and they said, we don't know when you're going to go home. And they're ordering all these things. They're going to do a cath, and they're going to go into my kidneys, and they're going to do all these things. And so I'm laying in that bed, and I ask the Lord, Lord, I need something from you. Now, remember, I'm a new Christian. In April, I'm about a four-month-old Christian. And I said, Father, laying in that room by myself, I said, I want to know about a faith that works. So here's my Bible. Where do I go? And I heard that still small voice. I was still learning the voice say, open up and read and study the book of James. Now, over the next 4 days, I had a full yellow pad. At the end of those 4 days, that pad was full of notes, thoughts, prayers, insights I believed I was getting from God from the book of James about a faith that works. Now, I have a pin truth I want to state right here at the beginning. When we face each day, oh, and by the way, you're going to have to come back next Sunday to find out what happened at the hospital. Yeah, Chris hates me doing cliffhangers, as he calls them. So you have to be back next Sunday to know what happened and all the stuff that happened. When we face each day, there is only one thing guaranteed to keep us grounded, and it's faith. So I'm laying in that room saying, Father, I want to know about a faith that works, and he takes me to the book of James. We will spend this series in the book of James and other scriptures too. You need to buckle down and get ready because we're going on a scriptural journey. We're going to look at a lot of scripture. We are going to see what works, a faith that works. Now, how this series came together is real simple. At the beginning of the year, the Lord said, this summer, you're going to do a series on James. He didn't say, I'm going to give you an option. He said, you will do a series on James. And you know what it's going to be about. And I said, yeah, you're going to want me to talk about a faith that works. And so when I was thinking about that, and I'm thinking about all my notes, which I still have, I could have gone in 15 directions on a faith that works from the book of James. And so I grabbed a handful of those and randomly sent texts and emails to members of this community of faith from the age of 18 to 70. I said, if I did a series on faith, what would be your top four? And there was one that quickly came to the surface. I mean, it just outdistanced everything. And it was this: how to be anchored in faith in a storm. How do I walk in a faith that works when I'm in the middle of a storm? So a faith that will anchor you in a storm all begins with your spiritual foundation. In that hospital room, God was pouring a spiritual foundation so I could stand in the storms, so that I could come out on the other side just as happy as when I went in. Who would like some faith that will take you to the other side? And you're just as happy and excited as you were before it started. That's a faith that what? Works. And we're going to talk about a faith that works, that keeps me anchored in a storm. And I'm not going to go where you think I'm going to go with everything, because there's some things we need to know and we need to pour. And for some of us, there are seasons where we need to re-pour the foundation. Now, can I say this? For some of us, we need to get the jackhammer out, bust it up, start over, and lay a good foundation. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 says, now we have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. It cannot slip, it cannot break down under whoever steps out upon it. A hope that reaches further and enters into the very certainty of the presence within the veil. There is only one thing that will not break and will not fold under pressure, and it's the Word of God. When Jesus paid the price at Calvary, it says in the temple the veil was split in two from the top to the bottom. And I've shared about that veil and what a miracle that was. Door was wide open. We don't have to go through anybody. We can come directly to Him. And the faith that works, that will anchor you in a storm, is in this book. As Colin shared, he doesn't even know what all I'm going to talk about. I started to get up and say, brother, just preach my sermon. This is the anchor. Is this our first read? Is this the first place we run to? I started to have a bunch of books up here and say, all these books are good, but is this first? This is the anchor, the Bible, and we need to get to know the Word and quit relying on everything else. I'm not against all the other stuff that can help, But in the end, this is the only thing that works. Faith in what he said. King James definition. Let's drill down into the word spiritual. Spiritual means pertaining to the renewed nature of man as spiritual life. How are you going to renew your mind? Renew your nature to be like God in this book. I'm laying in that hospital room and God is renewing my mind, pouring a foundation, renewing my nature. I'm saved, but God is pouring a foundation that will stand in the middle of the storm. Where was he pouring the foundation? Through somebody's great book they wrote because they're a great preacher? No, he took me to the book of James because James knew how to walk in faith in the middle of a storm. The book. There is a verse of scripture that's becoming a foundational verse here at North Elevation Church. We find that in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Can I add this? Or what's happened in the past? My father can overcome that if you'll let him. But if you're going to already decide what the future is based on the past, your foundation is not solid. Verse 6, in all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. This is the roadmap to a faith that works. It is the roadmap to being anchored in the storm. The Bible. Let me drill even deeper about foundation. Let's talk about a firm foundation. Defined, it's having a solid, almost unyielding surface or structure, resistant to externally applied pressure. What is a storm? Is it not externally applied pressure? You bet it is. Securely fixed in place, strong and sure, without wavering. Who wants a faith that you can stand in the middle of a storm and not waver? Everything you need to do that is in this book. In this book. Not the greatest, latest thing that John Bevere's written or Greg Rochelle or some of the others have written. It's good stuff. I've read some of it. But when it gets down to the end of it all, this is the book that's going to make the difference. In James chapter 1, verse 6, it says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Now I'm laying in that hospital bed. I read this verse of scripture, and here's what I hear. Believe it, Corey. Believe it. See it. I said, see what? He said, see yourself walking out of here healed and whole. And the doctors are amazed. Believe it. See it. And then he said, now, receive it. Receive it. Do not doubt. Do not doubt. The truth is, we waver in the storm because we doubt instead of believe. We waver in the storm because we doubt instead of seeing what God can do. We doubt in the middle of the storm because we've yet to receive and believe that my Father can do this. Well, the past. Forget the past. You're in the future. You're in the present. Start looking for a future that's different than the past. And believe your God and see Him do that. Well, why did you have to be in the hospital room to learn? I don't know. And I don't care. I'm glad he was talking to me and showing me the way. It got to the point where I didn't really think much about what was going on. I was having fun in pain, growing in my faith. And the devil was working on me about, well, in the past, and I was learning. You don't look at the past. You take right where you are right now and you start believing for a better future. Are y'all with me? Quit judging everything on the past. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise. Okay, I said this before, so cover up your feet because I'm going to step on toes. We've got to be careful about proclaiming how wise we are if we do not listen to the teachings of this book. Me included. He said, the wise person listens to what's in this book. The wise person. And what? Follows what it says. Oh, there's the biggie. Follows what it says. Well, I'm not so sure the Bible is fully everything. Oh, we've already got a problem. I'm going to address that in a moment. So hang with me. Don't check out on me. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Verse 25. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise, the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. This is the foundation under the foundation of what God's going to build upon. Talk to Gary Hood, James Harris, who have all, James has been a builder too, others that have done this. It's one thing to pour the concrete, but it's what's going on underneath the preparation that will make that concrete slab a good one. God was digging down deep in that hospital room, coming from the bottom, and he's beginning to build a faith that works in the storm. James chapter 1. Okay, hang on a second. It's getting off quiet. Everybody take a deep breath. We all good? Yeah. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word, not hearers only. Okay. You're already being marked this morning. Can't just hear me. Got to go what? Do it. That's a requirement. Well, I don't know if I'm going to do it. Don't be in disobedience. Be in obedience, because that's when we walk in full blessings. Correct? That's what the Bible says. Obedience. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. I do that regularly now. You look in the mirror and go, but you don't want to do that with God's word. When you read it, don't walk away and forget it. Read it, memorize it, get it down in you. That's what was happening in that hospital room. Verse 25. But the one who looks into the law of liberty, and perseveres, underline that, perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. We have to act on what we hear. Not walk out the door, forget the message, because I'm going to Texas Roadhouse. We ought to be eating dinner and discussing what happened on Sunday morning, or eating lunch and be discussing what happened. Get it down in us. Way down in us. The right foundation is built upon line upon line, precept upon precept in this word. A spiritual foundation that will stand in the storm is a spiritual foundation made out of gospel materials. Made out of gospel materials that will endure the storms, and you'll come out on the other side just fine. So what makes up a faith that works? Let's drill down deeper. It's trusting God to carry you through to the other side. It's trusting God to do that. When it seems impossible right now, it's trusting God. Now, I'm going to go into a story, very familiar story in Scripture. As I'm going through James, God takes me to this story. I hadn't been saved about 4 months, but I've been around church most of my childhood. My grandmother trying to run me off to here, and my aunt taking me to a church camp, and going here and going there, Baptist church, Assembly of God church. Man, I had all kinds of church when I was little. Just never went to church on Sunday, only in the summer, because my parents weren't churchgoers. But I've been around, heard the stories. God brings me back to a very familiar story. In this story, there's been a lot of preaching about what Jesus was doing. Lots of insight about that. Lots of preaching about how the disciples reacted. Lots of preaching about the miracle that took place. But not enough time spent on what Jesus said prior to the incident. So everyone, listen carefully. In Mark, now, the disciples are in a boat. They're going somewhere. And we pick up the story in Mark chapter 4, verse 38. But he, Jesus, was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. Pause. I'm going to give you a truth here. You can be in the middle of your storm and sleep well at night. There is a faith that works and anchors you in the storm, that when you go to bed, you sleep. Who needs some of that? It's right here. Listen carefully. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Everybody in this room has probably had a moment where you have said that to God. I'm sure there was a few times where she said, "God, did you not care about me? Why did you send him my way?" Verse 39, "And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you so afraid?'" I can imagine. Jesus said, "Why are you afraid? I'm on the boat. Why are you afraid? I'm sleeping. Do you see me stressed? Why didn't y'all all come down here and just go to sleep with me? We're all tired. Man, we need some rest. We've been busy." See, I live the Bible. I don't just read it. You know, I'm sitting here living this. I'm thinking that's what I expect Jesus to say to me. "Dude, what's wrong with you? I'm on the boat. You see me running around scared?" "Have you still no faith?" Now let me give you the key to that entire story that gets missed. Gets passed by very quickly. Because it cost us something. In verse 35, prior to doing this, it says, "On that day when evening had come, he," Jesus, "said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.'" Jesus has already told them, "We're going to go to the other side." I can see why he was upset. "Did I not tell you we were going to go to the other side?" Doesn't matter that a storm rose. I just told you we're going to the other side, and I've already proven to you that when I speak, it happens. Come on. His word is alive. We need to speak the word of God to our storm and say, I am going to the other side because Jesus is with me. He is for me. He's not against me. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's right here. And the word says, and speak the word. Yeah, but in the past. Please don't say that to me. We're going to have a conversation. Let's talk about right now what the word says and where you can go. What the future could be. He said we're going to the other side. I've lost count of the times that Jesus tried to get the disciples to understand this. And in my own life, I've lost count of the times that the still small voice said, it's all going to be okay. You're going to get to the other side. And I spent the whole journey not trusting his words. Are you with me? And he did what he said he was going to do, but I don't come out on the other side feeling better. I come out on the other side feeling drained. Because I've been in doubt and unbelief through the journey. But I have a good Father whose grace and mercy carried me through. And then he says again to me, he says, Corey, when are you going to trust me? A faith that works is a faith that trusts God. Proverbs 3. 5 and 6. You need to be pinning that verse. You need to post it wherever you need to post it. And start believing that if you will quit leaning on your own understanding and trust him fully, you're going to see some of the greatest miracles of your life. Should have heard about 10 amens out of that. Mark 4:38 and 40, you need to remember that story, but Mark 4:35 is the key to the story. Every Christian struggles with this issue from time to time, some more than others. And here's what I want to say about that in a pen truth, and then some comments. Pin truth, we seem to be able to trust God to see us safely through death to heaven, yet we struggle to trust him to take us to the other side in a storm. Come on. We need to think about that. We trust him through death to heaven, but we can't trust him here on earth to take me through the storm. Is he a different God? During the storm? No. He's calling us now. He's calling in saying, you need to listen. He's not a different God trying to get to heaven as he is in the middle of the storm. Same God. Same power of resurrection that take you to heaven, same power of resurrection to get you through the storm. But the past, no more. Yeah, but. No more yeah, buts. You have to make a decision. And here's what I want to say about that. I'm not going to hold back. Let's get serious, church, about anchoring our lives into the bedrock. The bedrock. Let's get serious about this. Into the bedrock, God's word. Let me give you some anchoring points this morning. Number one, see and understand that God's word is a gift paid for dearly. Correct? You say, well, you planned this to happen on the day we did communion. No, I didn't. It's just how it fell. God is a good God. He's wanting to get our attention. It was paid for dearly. It's a gift. James 1, verse 17 and 18. In that room, God began to talk to me about gifts. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Verse 18. Of His own will He brought us forth by the what? Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creation. This is a gift from above to us, to whom He loves. The word of truth. Here's the attributes of God's gift, His word. His word is perfect. I say it again. His word is perfect. If we don't believe that, we've got a problem. We're unstable in our Christianity if we do not believe that. You say that strong language, Pastor? It's truth. The word is perfect. The word is true. It's true. The word is true. His word never changes. The same power to get you to heaven exists in the storm. It never changes. His word is life. His word is life. It's a gift. It's a gift that is perfect, true, changes not, and it's full of life. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through endurance, and the encouragement of Scriptures, we might have hope and overflow with confidence in His promises. He will get me to the other side. He will get me to the other side." Well, Pastor, I want a God where I never have to go through a storm. That's not what Scripture tells us. I'd rather go through the storm as a believer than a non-believer. Number two, we need to humbly receive God's word. Pastor, why do you put that in there? Because I see so much pride, arrogance, that I can do this, I got this, I'm smarter, I got it figured out. And we don't humble ourselves and receive from the book that works. Well, I just went through a management course, and I think I've learned some things. I don't need the whole Bible. If you've been through some of these management courses that I know about, you need more. You need the Bible like every moment. Because basically, a lot of them are telling you, you're your own God. You don't need that. He said, you don't know what you're talking about. Yes, I do know what I'm talking about. I read business books, just so you'll know. I keep up with stuff. I want to know what's being taught to the world. James 1:21 says, "So get rid of all uncleanliness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word, which is implanted and rooted in your hearts, contains the power to save your soul." It'll save you in the middle of a storm. At least the disciples had enough sense to go to Jesus before they started jumping overboard. But sometimes we jump overboard, and now we're floating around in the sea by ourselves. Stay on the boat. Jesus may be asleep in the stern, but you're going to make it to the other side. you're going to make it to the other side. You say, why did you just say that? Because there's times where God is just silent, even in the storm. And I've learned something. When he's silent, he's not silent. He's speaking loudly to me. He is saying, trust me. You need to trust me. Corey, you need to trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Silence doesn't mean God's gone anywhere. It doesn't mean God doesn't care. It's probably God reminding you, trust me. Trust me. James 1:21 says, so get rid of all uncleanness and rampant outgrowth of wickedness. I love what Colin said today. What was Colin addressing? Anything that's gotten between you and Father God being first. Anything that's gotten between you and this word. Anything. Get rid of it. I got rid of a slew of friends after that hospital visit. That's the truth. I did. I cut people off. I was like, this ain't good. They're keeping me from being the man of God I truly desire to be. I'm not going to hang around folks who are constantly being negative, constantly in doubt, and really aren't trying to live God. They just want, they want the benefits of Christianity, but they don't want to be what we're supposed to be. And I went through a series of times, I went through a series of months where I just started moving in a different direction. I'm not sharing with you anything that I don't know for a on a personal level and how important it is to do it, and it works. Because you know what? God sent me friends, true friends. He did not leave me lonely. Are y'all with me? And what's real fun about all of this, a lot of those that I cut off came diving in. As they were watching. Number three, study the word and do what it says. Say that again until I get an amen. Study the word and do what it says. Ah, we have a church here. Okay. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Don't deceive yourself by thinking that you don't have to do what the Word says and you don't have to listen to it. You must listen and do what the Word says, because life is coming at 225 miles an hour, and this is the anchor to stand in the middle of the storm, knowing you're going to get to the other side. It needs to become a habit to listen to the Word, study the Word, and memorize the Word. I'm going to say this again. I've said it 1,000 times. I'll say it 1,000 times more until I die. Several thousand times. What you value, you will spend time doing. What you value, you will sacrifice other things so you can do it. If you weren't listening, and I hope you were, what Colin was saying this morning, through the move of the Holy Spirit, through him, is that right there? What do we value more than we do God? What do I value more than I do the Word of God? You have a lot of projects, maybe. Maybe you have no projects. You just like to sit and surf. I love what at restaurants, get in a restaurant and then look around when everybody comes in. Everybody sits down. Yes, I want water. We have so many distractions that we're going to have to make some serious choices. What you value, you will spend time doing. What you value, you will sacrifice other things to do it. Don't you think that my Father's Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us, is worth sacrificing some stuff? And should that not be of high value, that we spend time with God? And we spend time in his word. Amen. You can get so busy that you'll make enough excuses that you never, ever get anchored so that you can stand fully in a storm without saying, well, you know, the past taught me, so I'm just going to... Wrong place to be. Here's what I do. The past has told me God always gets me through the storm. Depends on how you're going to look at this. Do you believe in the anchor or do you not believe in the anchor? Do you believe in your own understanding, your own ways, your own insight, your own wisdom, your own everything? Or do we believe what the book says? It's important. I'm going over because Colin went over, so y'all hang on. When the storms come, can you sleep in the storm? If your anchor is in the bedrock of this book, you can sleep during the storm. Jesus did. Well, that was Jesus. No, Jesus modeled all the way through Scripture the life we can live. I'm going to say it again. Jesus, all through Scripture, modeled the life we can live. It's a choice. And Joshua 1:8 says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. You know, you ought to have this verse somewhere as a verse that's asking you a question. And it's asking this question. Corey, this book, has it departed from your mouth? Corey, are you meditating on this book day and night? So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Oh, we all want prosperity. Oh, come on. We all want prosperity. And we were just told how to walk in prosperity. Let me tell you the prosperity that we're missing out on. Peace. Calm. Joy. Happiness. Even in the storm. You don't want to miss next week when I tell you what happened in that hospital. You want to be here for that. Set me on a journey that I've never stopped traveling. For then you will be, it will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Here's my final statement to you today. Sometimes it seems like there's one storm after another, whether it be an illness, temptation, toxic person, or 100 other things. Life at times can seem like it's full of storms. However, we must remember to run to God's Word and stand when we are going through these storms. Stay focused on God's Word. He will lead your path straight. Psalms 107:29 says, He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. Let me tell you something. You can be in the middle of the storm, and the storm sound is like a whisper. And the waves are as though they're not even crashing. And you can sleep through the night. That's the faith that the church should walk in. Remember that God is always in control, and He will carry you through to the other side. He'll carry you through to the other side. I'm going to ask everyone to stand, and we're going to step out in faith this morning. I'm going to obey the Holy Spirit completely and totally this morning. Yes, we're going over. Remember, not my fault. But what He said had to be said. God was preparing our hearts. You're facing a storm right now. Don't let your pride get in your way. Okay? I'm not going to come ask you what it is. And nobody else go ask them what it is. You got to deal right now. Let me tell you something. God told me I want to deal with people's pride of life. I'm wanting to take them to the other side. I need them to humble themselves and come forward because I so want to take them to the other side. Maybe you're not facing a storm, but maybe you have a family member that is, and you want to come stand in their behalf. But don't you hesitate this. I'm serious. I feel the presence of God wants to move in a powerful way. And you know, sometimes when the presence of God would come, it would move through and settle. And then if the people didn't respond, it moved on. Presence of deliverance and freedom to get you anchored into a faith that works in the middle of the storm. The presence of the Spirit of God is here to establish that anchor. So if you're facing a storm, get down here right now into this altar. If you want to come in behalf of someone else, if you struggle during storms, you need to be down here. If you're a person who's always looking at the past or God can't do it this time, you need to be down here. This is different than any other time. This is just different. God's going to move in a special way in your behalf because, guess why? Because we're all humbling ourselves. And humility is the key. Second, the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. Your obedience to His sacrifice is going to bring a new grounding and a new foundation. So let's let God in fully right now. Father, we just worship You. We magnify You. We glorify Your name. You're worthy of all praise and honor and glory. God, I know I do this all the time, but it means so much to me to acknowledge who You are. You are the lily of the valley. You are the bright and morning star. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And You are the Lion of Judah. The great I am. Father, we have heard Your word today, and the Bible tells me that the word will set me free. And truth sets us free. So today I receive the truth. And I also receive the instruction of the changes that You're already talking to me about that I need to make. Right now, whatever He's telling you, just say, Father, I'm going to do it. I receive the instruction. I receive it. I receive it. Now, Father, we declare before You that we're going to make the Word first. We're going to make You first. And we're going to build the proper foundation. And Father, I want to thank You that You're always with us. You never forsake us or leave us. And You will get us to the other side. And what you need to do right now, you need to take that step of faith right now. And you need to start declaring, my God is going to take me to the other side. You need to declare, I'm going to the other side. Jesus is in the boat with me. I'm going to the other side. I'm going to the other side. I am the victor, not the victim. I am going to the other side. That family member, name them. Say their name. Declare them to the other side. They're going to the other side. They're going to see my God move in a special way in their life. Now, by faith, here you go. Step out. Speak to the storm and tell the winds to be quiet. Right now, speak to it. Well, I don't do that. Do it. Speak to the storm. Tell it to be quiet. Tell the waves to cease. And declare calm right now in the name of Jesus. You do it. Right now. Now. By faith again. Here we go. We're drilling down. By faith. Father. Tell Him, Father, I receive Your peace, Your calm, Your rest, and I shall sleep even in the storm. I thank you, Father, for peaceful, restful sleep, because you're taking me to the other side. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Was it worth an extra 10 minutes? You're going to sleep well. Some of you are going to walk out of here and get ready to build some brand new foundations. You know that mansion you've been wanting to build? It's going to be a spiritual one now, okay? And it'll have the foundation to hold it. You've been trying to build this spiritual foundation, you know, on a 1,000-square-foot foundation. It ain't going to work. Got to have a bigger foundation of faith, right? We have to. You know why? Let's say it again. You know why we have to? Because the one matters, and they're watching. They're watching us. Let's show them that we truly and completely believe this book. Amen? Thank you for being here this morning. You're dismissed. Have a wonderful day.